Excuse me. This is not our text here for tonight, but a couple of verses I want to read to you tonight before we get over to our text, which is going to be in Hebrews. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, look in verse 12. The Bible says here in 2 Peter 1 and verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." I want to share a few things with you tonight. The message I believe that the Lord has given me is actually something that the Lord has reminded me of and shown me again, and I just want to share it with you tonight, even sort of a personal thing, but Bible principles and Bible truths that we need to be reminded of. And though we know truth, we still need to be reminded of it, otherwise we fall away from it. If we don't practice something, we don't maintain skill or we don't remember, and we need to be reminded. And this is what Peter says here. He says, whether I'm here, whether I'm gone, I want to remind you some things that you already know. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Here's another warning. Beware, even though you know these things before, you have to be on guard. And this is sort of the case with what we're going to be speaking about tonight. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Again, this is something that the Lord has reminded me of, and I just want to share it with you tonight. Tonight we're going to consider the subject of bitterness and the subtlety of it, how it can easily creep into a life. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." The Apostle Paul says here in this verse to watch carefully or to look diligently for bitterness in your own life. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And so his admonition is to be careful, to watch, to be on guard, to look diligently for bitterness in your own life. That tells me something. It tells me that it's not always easy to spot in your own life. You know? He says you need to look diligently for it. Oftentimes, you know, you can see a bitterness or resentment in somebody else a mile away. Right? But it's a lot harder to recognize it and to see it in your own life or in my own life. Of course, that's the way that the devil wants it to be, because if you can't see it, if you can't identify it, you don't know that it's growing. You don't know what's happening. And before you know it, it might be too late, and oftentimes irreparable damage being done. The sin of bitterness, and it's a sin, by the way, the sin of bitterness can be very subtle. And we're admonished in the Scriptures to watch carefully and diligently for it in our own life. Bitterness is something that will destroy your Christian life. Bitterness is something that has destroyed many, many people throughout time and throughout history. And the Word of God makes it very clear that it's something that we can't take for granted. Sadly, bitterness doesn't just stop with an individual. It has destroyed many. But it doesn't just stop with one. Bitterness is something that creeps along, that spreads, and it not only affects our own life, but it affects the lives of others around us. One preacher said, bitterness isn't like cancer. You can get cancer and it can spread into the rest of your body and it can ultimately destroy your life. However, cancer is not contagious. I don't have to worry about getting cancer from shaking your hand. Bitterness is a lot more like the deadly AIDS virus. It can be passed on to others, except bitterness is easier to pass on and it's more deadly. There's probably some truth, at least spiritually, in those statements. I want us to consider some truths about bitterness tonight and how, if we're not watchful, it can creep into our own lives. Verse 15 tells us here, look at verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. First of all, the thing that a principle I want you to consider is that seeds of bitterness are planted by missing the grace of God. Seeds of bitterness are planted by missing the grace of God. Look back to verse 14 with me. Verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 14 here states that we are to follow peace with all men. The word follow here means to pursue after. It's sort of like if a person is new to the area, new to Alaska, they don't know where to go, they don't know what where these places are, and somebody says, hey, follow me, and I'll take you. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to stay right behind them, and they're gonna pursue after this person. They don't want to get lost. They need to know the direction to go. It's that kind of a connotation, the word follow. It means to pursue after. In other words, it's indicating a present active pursuit. It's not something that is just passive occurrence, meaning it's just going to happen by itself. It's something that takes active pursuit to follow peace with all men. Now, I think a lot of times people act the opposite. When, you know, we kind of have this attitude, well, there would be peace. If everybody would just do everything the way that I do it and think the way that I think and be in full agreement with me, then there wouldn't be any problems. We'd have all kinds of peace. Well, obviously that's not the case. And that's not going to happen. And there's going to be disagreements. And because of that, then there needs to be an effort made at being peaceable with all men. We must actively participate in pursuing after peace because it's not going to happen by itself. See, peace is something that we all want, right? Most normal people, anyway, desire peace. But peace is something that's hard to come by because we're sinful people. Conflict, on the other hand, is very easy to come by, is it not? You know, you don't have to do anything. You can be completely passive and it's all of a sudden going to find you. Trouble and conflict is going to find you. You don't have to go looking for it. You know, I don't think this way. I don't think most people do. Normal people don't say, hey, you know what? I haven't had a good fight in a while. I think I'm going to go start one. That just happens without us even trying. Normal people don't want conflict and strife, but it seems as though in this natural mortal life we can't help it. The fact of the matter is there's going to be offenses. People are going to offend. It's plain, it's simple, and the reason is because we still have a sin nature. You with me? Is that true? People are going to offend. You are going to offend. The seeds of bitterness are planted when we fail of the grace of God. What does that mean? Well, every day, offenses which contain the seeds of bitterness get thrown at us from all different angles in life. Are you following me? You with me here? Every day, offenses come that contain the seeds of bitterness, and they're flying at us, getting thrown at us from all sides. The only way to avoid them and to keep them from being planted in our life is through the grace of God. Are you with me? We can't stop offenses from being thrown at us, but we can stop them from being planted in our life. That is our responsibility. Are you with me? Beware, Paul says here, in looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. God's grace is there. It's available. It's our responsibility to grab hold of it. What we do with those offenses makes all the difference. If we miss God's grace in dealing with offenses, the seed of bitterness then gets planted. And before too long, a root begins to spring up. How do we miss God's grace? Well, I can just use some silly illustrations. You probably could think of all kinds of personal things or things that happened to you in your life, but how do we miss God's grace? Well, suppose, you know, someone walks by you without acknowledging you or shaking your hand when they come to church. Some of you be like, hey, good, I'm glad for that. Sometimes people have a personality, though, that it takes offense easier than others. And their mind is trained in such a way that if, you know, someone doesn't acknowledge me as they walk by, oh, they must be ignoring me. What's going on? And they'd immediately take offense at this, even if the other person wasn't even trying to ignore them. Or we could use other illustrations. Like, for example, I remember one time there was some ministry, whatever, that I was sort of helping in to get going and so on, and I was young. I wasn't even on church staff at the time, I don't think. Only been saved for a few years, and I had this super good idea that we should implement into this ministry. And so I went to the pastor and I said, well, we should do this and we could do that. And it seemed as though it didn't really faze him. It didn't really affect him. It didn't have quite the effect on him that I thought it was going to have, because it was such a good idea. And it was like, okay, thanks. Never heard anything from it again. I was like, oh, that is the best idea that somebody could ever come up with. And he never did anything with it. Doesn't he see how good of an idea that is? And that was silly. That was carnal. That was fleshly to react and to think that way. To be offended because my idea wasn't used. But like I said, sometimes there are personalities, I suppose, that are more offended easier than others. And thankfully, the Lord has taught me a few things and I'm not so easily offended. But the point is, we need to be careful. I mean, you could think of probably illustrations, things that are offenses to you. And we need to be careful how we respond, because we could be allowing seeds of bitterness to be planted in the life. God has given us a proper way to deal with offenses, and it's through His grace. Beware, look diligently, he says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to deal with offenses. The wrong way, when there's been an offense, someone said something or done something, it's a problem for you. The wrong way is to hold it in and not deal with it and let it fester and let it build up over time until the pressure is so great that there's an eruption and all kinds of problems happen. That's the wrong way to deal with problems and offenses. Or instead of holding it in, well, we can't do that. That's bad. That would be stressful, and stress kills, and so I'm not going to hold this in. Instead, I'm going to go and talk about it with other people. That's the wrong way to handle offenses. To go and talk about things to other people. See, I'm dealing with it. I'm not holding it in. That's not the right way either. Because talking about offenses over and over and over again only makes you dwell on it. And it just fuels the fire. And secondly, it infects the others who you've told the issue to. Those that would decide to sit and listen to that kind of rubbish are not doing you or themselves any favors. The right way to deal with offenses is to take hold of the grace of God. The Bible gives us principles on how to handle offenses. And God gives us wisdom to know how to apply those principles. He gives us strength to bear up under the strain of an offense through the Holy Spirit of God. And the idea or the response ought to be is, Lord, you know what happened. And you know that hurt me. But Lord, I want to respond spiritually to these things. I don't want to respond in the flesh. And Lord, I ask for your strength to help me to let it go and to forgive my brother. God also gives healing to get over offenses and not to rehash it over and over and over again. Where does that come from? The grace of God. It's there. It's available. God answers our request when we want to take hold of His grace. God's answer to offenses in life is simply to surrender it to Him and to let it go. If we don't learn how to handle offenses and take advantage of the grace of God, you know what? We're going to be really miserable people. There's so many people like that. They live in their own little world, and they've got their little support system, and that's what gives them their structure and their support and any kind, and they sit there in their bitterness, and they sit there in their with these offenses, and they have nothing to give, they have nothing to offer, and they become very selfish people, very self-centered people, because all they can think about is their problems and their offenses. And how this person did this and this person did that. That's not the right way. If we don't learn how to handle these things and take advantage of God's grace, we're going to be miserable. Remember, this is our choice. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. It's our choice. The seeds of bitterness get planted when we miss the grace of God. And not handling things God's way. That's the first principle to consider. Offenses come. They contain the seeds of bitterness. We decide whether or not those things are going to get planted in our life or not. Number two, roots of bitterness develop by looking for and finding nourishment. Not seeds anymore, roots. Roots of bitterness develop by looking for and finding nourishment. You know, when you plant a garden, you place that seed in the soil, and when the condition is right, that seed is going to begin to sprout and start to develop a root system, right? That is the life source for the plant, is the root. Without the root, the plant will die. What do roots do? Well, roots grow down and they grow out and they lodge themselves in the earth until they're held there fast. the root systems that are the strongest are all the weeds in Alaska. Just go and try to pull a well-developed weed out of the ground. Well, you probably will break off the stalk. But what stays in the ground? The root. You guarantee that that weed is coming back. I try it all the time in our flower garden. Can't get those roots out. You got to dig them out. What do roots do? Well, roots are in search of nutrients to absorb, and that helps the plant to grow. And eventually, then, a stem is produced, and it springs up through the soil, and then it begins to bear fruit. But you know what? Bitterness does exactly the same thing. You know, a little problem, a little offense occurs. We don't handle it right. The first thing that we do is go and share it with someone else. What does that do? Oh man, that just gives fuel. That just gives nutrients. What is a person doing? They're feeding bitterness. Listen, bitter people need a reason to justify their feelings, and so they look for someone to agree with them to help justify themselves. Let me just give you some encouragement here. You may not have a root of bitterness in your life, and praise the Lord, that may not be a problem. But you know what other people sometimes do? Don't be one who listens to the things that other people have to say about somebody else. You know what, Christian? The greatest disservice you could do to your fellow brother or sister in Christ is to justify their bitterness. Don't feed the offense by agreeing with them and giving a reason for justification. What we ought to do in cases like that is counter it and say, you know what, friend? That's not really the right approach to handle this situation. We ought to say, friend, you need to deal with your own attitude. Even if what so-and-so said and what so-and-so did was wrong, you still need to watch out for yourself and your own attitude. That's what we ought to do. We ought to say, hey, why don't we go talk to so-and-so and let's just work this out right now and let's just make this right. But see, that's the hard thing to do. It's easier just to go ahead and agree with someone who's offended rather than counter it, especially if we have a few issues of our own. And what we ought to do for the sake of Christ, for the sake of brotherly love, for the sake of unity in a church, and not even just in a church, in life in general, we ought to say, hey, you know what? Let's just go talk to so-and-so. Let's get this worked out. I bet that this is just a misunderstanding. And if you two talk this out, I bet you things will be worked out. There's probably not that many things to be worked up about. The best thing we could ever do is point a person in the direction of settling an offense, not harboring it. Seeds are thrown at us every day looking for opportunities to sprout. The devil's trying to trip us up. The devil's trying to discourage us. And we need to remember that we can become fuel for someone else's problems or someone else's bitterness. And so the next time that somebody tells you such and such happened and so did this and they said that and I've got a problem with it, we need to think long and hard about how we respond. We've got two choices. We can help them deal with it or we can enable them to be bitter. What I'm saying is that roots of bitterness look to find nourishment. Without the root, it's going to die. The third thing is that roots of bitterness lie buried underneath the surface. Look at verse 15 again. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 15 states that this root of bitterness springs up. Where are the roots located on a plant? Well, they're under the ground, of course. That's where they reside. bitterness is referred to as a root because it's something that lies under the surface. I think that we would all agree with that sort of a statement. You know, I've never seen anybody with a great big sign over their head that says, "Bitter, bitter, I'm bitter." No, they try to keep their issues covered. They try to keep them hidden. Or they would say, you know, I'm not bitter. I've just been hurt. And they harbor this and they hold on to this thing, whatever it is. The problem is that people, we, myself included, don't recognize that root of bitterness in our own life. And the truth of the matter is, our actions do a better job of signaling what's really there than even a sign could. You know, you can see it all over somebody's face. Because the actions and the attitudes are just screaming out what's in the heart. In order to deal with it, we have to realize that it lies under the surface, just like the roots of weeds. Roots very seldom, if ever, will come through the surface. It's the plant that's on the that bears the fruit, the plant that's above the surface that bears the fruit. So when it comes to this issue of bitterness, when bitterness bears fruit, how's it going to look? Well, it looks like somebody who's got an issue with this and has got an issue with that and who's got an issue with this person and an issue with that person, and it seems like they've got an attitude about something all the time. The thing is, though, those aren't the real problems. Those are just symptoms. Those are the externals. There's a root of bitterness in the life that's not been dealt with, and it's under the surface. And it doesn't matter how many times you break off, you know, the fruit on the top. If that root is not dug out, it's not going to go away. We can put on a good act. We can pretend everything's okay. But inside, we're just being eaten up. And the Lord warns us to watch out for those roots because it's going to destroy a life before we even know it. Look, we may think that we have a handle on something right now, but before too long, it begins to envelop us and it begins to take control of everything about us. Maybe you've had things like this before, but there's a burden, a problem, or something, and it begins to permeate your mind to where that's all you think about. And everything you see is through bitter eyes. And so everything that you see, you misinterpret and take the wrong way because it's being looked at through the lens of bitter eyes. It's something that that's all we can think about. It's something that plagues us when we sleep at night and so on. There's a problem there that needs to be dealt with. Bitterness has a root system that will destroy. Verse 15 also states here that bitter roots will produce bitter fruit. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. It produces bitter fruit. When a seed is planted and it develops a root and a stem, it naturally is going to produce fruit. Apples don't just grow automatically. They're the result of a seed and a root system. Bitterness is the same way. There's something that was a seed that was planted that was able to develop a root system, and now it's causing trouble. Bitter roots always produce bitter fruit in the life, and it shows itself on the outside. It shows itself in our actions. It shows itself in our responses to others. It shows itself in the circumstances and how we respond to those things in our life. That's how it shows itself. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Hebrews 12 verse 14 said, follow peace with all men. Oftentimes, bitterness is a result of a lack of peace between brothers and sisters in the Lord. And some offense that's happened that is not dealt with correctly, we fail of the grace of God. That seed is planted, it develops a root system, and now it's starting to bear fruit. The way we deal with situations and people and circumstances are a good indication of what's really in the heart. Is there gentleness? Is there peaceableness? Is it easy to be entreated when there's offenses that come? If not, it's just bitter fruit showing itself, coming from roots that are deep down. If we have a situation or offense and we allow it to grow, if we share it with others, if we're finding others to agree with just to justify our feelings, if it's something that begins to consume our thoughts, when we're at work, when we're at home, at night, when you go to bed, rehashing it over and over and over again, thinking about it regularly, watch out. There might just be a root of bitterness that's about to spring up, or it has sprung up and it's troubling you. It'll destroy your life. And the sad part is, it probably won't just destroy yours, but others too. Because verse 15 said, go back there to Hebrews 12 and verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Many are defiled. Bitter fruit will destroy the lives of others too. Many are defiled because of the bitterness of just one person. It's a natural occurrence. Just like it's natural for an apple tree to produce apples, bitter fruit or bitter roots are going to produce bitter fruit. I don't have any stats on something like this, but I know it's true. How many times, you know, maybe it's happened to a pastor. Maybe there's something that has occurred in his life, or someone said or did something that was an offense to him, and he didn't deal with it correctly, and a root of bitterness sprang up in his life, and it affected his ministry, which then begins to affect the lives of other people around him, the people he's to minister to, and the life of that church, instead of growing, instead of building, begins to go downhill. You get a bunch of bitter people, a bunch of destroyed lives, because of the bitterness of one. Bitterness is like that. You know what? You don't consciously try to infect other people or destroy other people's lives. It just naturally happens. And the truth of the matter is, it always infects those that are closest to you first. Your own family. It's a sad thing. And it doesn't have to happen. But it's a sad thing when a dad gets all bent out of shape, gets out of whack over something, and instead of going and dealing with it and responding spiritually because he loves the Lord, bitterness begins to develop in his own heart. He ends up taking his family and getting out of the church. Listen, I have never, ever, ever seen it turn out for good. I've never seen a family turn into a better family, and I've never seen kids grow up to be, you know, just responsible adults and kids who love the Lord, adults who love God, who go on to serve the Lord with their life. I've never seen it. It's the other way around. They lose their kids. They grow up like the world, and they lose their kids to the world and to the devil. Many are defiled because of the bitterness of one. What I'm saying is, and what the Word of God is instructing us in, we need to watch out. We need to look diligently. It's easy to see it on other people. Not so easy to see it in our own heart, in our own life. Take a look. Be careful. Be on guard. Be watching. Because it'll not only destroy you, but those that you love too. And though you know these things, I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. Amen? Amen. Every day, those offenses get thrown. What we do with those seeds determines whether or not we allow something to be planted in the heart and the life or not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these reminders. Thank you for your word. Father, for your grace and guiding us and helping us when we sometimes get our vision all skewed and out of whack. We can't see things for what they are and very clearly. Your Holy Spirit and your word and the principles of it give us guidance to put us back on the right track and help us to have the right perspective to be able to deal with things in the right manner. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you're that kind of a God who cares about those details in our lives, and Father, you desire the very best for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd also help us to be diligent in our own life, to be looking diligently. Father, to be the kind of people that are quick to pursue after peace and that are gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy. And Father, that we'd not allow those fleshly tendencies to overwhelm and overtake and then destroy our life. Bless your people. Help us to apply these truths where they fit. Lord, I pray that you'd grow us up in you continually for the Lord's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.